Caution. This podcast is designed for mature audiences. We delve into topics surrounding sexuality and intimate relationships in a candid and open manner. Please note that we are not licensed marriage or sex therapists, and the content shared here is intended solely for entertainment and informational purposes. If you are under 18 years old or prefer not to engage in explicit discussions about sex, relationships, or mature language, we advise against proceeding further. However, if you're of legal age and comfortable with such content, feel free to settle in, grab a beverage, and enjoy this episode. Just remember, time flies when you're having fun. Oh, and the stories you're about to hear are true. The names have been changed to protect the guilty.
Welcome to Beyond Monogamy, where every episode is a journey of discovery, liberation, and endless possibility. Join your hosts, Roger Johnson and Janet Valentine, as they peel back the layers of convention, inviting you into a world where passion knows no boundaries. Beyond Monogamy, a podcast that transcends the traditional norms of relationships to uncover the raw, unfiltered stories about the lifestyle. And now, your hosts, Roger Johnson and Janet Valentine.
I'm not sure if Roger's going to join us.
If he does, he'll pop into the conversation. But at this time, I think it's time to start the podcast. Welcome to Beyond Monogamy. I'm Janet.
I'm Barbie.
And we have the guest. Who's the guest today?
Steve.
Yay, it's Steve
again. Thank you very much, guys. Great to hear from you.
Okay, so let's start with, it's been brought to my attention that I've failed to ask you the question that we typically ask most couples that when we're meeting them for the first time. I know the first time I met you was at a party a long time ago, but I really didn't talk to you. I didn't ask you the question. I was rude and went off and played with other people. It was my husband who joined you and Elle at that time. So if I was just meeting you and Elle at a party, one of the things we like to ask is, can you tell me and relate to me either a really good story about being in the lifestyle that you've had, a good, fun time, or something that went wrong or was not so good?
Wow. Sure, be glad to. Start with the bad part, because, and I will tell you this, and I'll tell to anybody who's new to the lifestyle and listening, don't give up, because Elle and I about gave up. We met a couple at a private house party, actually at the same venue, Janet, where we met you the first time, but a different party. Things were going well. They said, hey, let's get together next week. Got together next week. Elle and the lady had never been with another woman yet. They went upstairs, played for about 30 minutes. The husband and I went upstairs and started to play. And the minute that the husband started with Elle, she shut down. The wife shut down completely. I mean, just, what have I done? What did I do? And it was a week later, the husband said, hey, guys, sorry, it wasn't you. It was her. She got jealous. I'm going, oh, okay. So that was one of our first ones. Our second one, we went to a big hotel takeover. And we went there, met a couple, went back to their room. There again, problem was whiskey dick. Husband got whiskey dick and could not perform. So, and then we'd gone and gone and gone. And so we're 3 months, 4 months into the lifestyle. I told Elle, I said, this is the deal. I'm about done with this craziness. This is ridiculous. She goes, I agree. So let's go to one more party. So we go to the party, this house party. And they put the party out like a week in advance is all. We get there. There's nobody there. And next thing you know, we've got a little car comes rolling up and four people get out. And happened to be you and hubby number two and another couple. And that's the night we did the Eiffel Tower, you know, and got acquainted initially. So, you know,
okay, we need to explain Eiffel Tower.
Okay.
Right? Barbie's already given the hand signs.
Go ahead.
Well, no, it was, You tell.
Well, so Eiffel Tower is when you got the guy and he's laying on the bed, and you got the woman who's on the position of riding him cowboy, and okay. she is facing his head, riding him cowboy, right? And then you have the other woman who is getting eaten by him up at the top, and she is facing the woman who's riding cowboy. So you got so one person is being pleasured by his dick and the other person is being pleasured by his tongue. And the guy's gotta be talented. Okay. And
Right.
And so then it's called the Eiffel Tower because what happens is in order to balance yourself, you lean over and you grab each other's tits. Okay. You grab each other's tits and then your heads are like clinking together. And so it makes the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, sure. I do have to ask, was this a vocabulary word that you came up with after the fact? Or is this something you've heard in the circle for many years? The Eiffel Tower reference.
For me, on that, I've heard that being in for many years. Eiffel Tower.
Yay,
okay, darn. But I don't know. I don't know, Steve, if you had heard it, if you learned it from me. I can't remember what I've said, where I learned it, who did it, you know, originally. Maybe it was one of those ones that Big Dig Donnie came up with because he loves to be credited with crap.
Ah, yes. Okay. Let's give it to him.
I just know that the Eiffel Tower is... I kind of like that one. That's a really fun position.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Well, and that was the first night we met Janet and hubby number two. So, and that sort of started it for us. We got very lucky with them. And a week later, we get a text message from hubby number two goes, "Hey, we're having a party. Would you guys like to come to the party?" So we show up and everything. And that's the night that Elle had her first BBC in the lifestyle. It happened to be Detroit Dan.
Oh, yeah.
We're standing there. And, of course, we know and we're happy. Nothing's, you know, we're pretty laid back about it. I'm standing in Janet's dining room or front room. I look over and here is Janet with this shit-eating grin looking at me. Has Elle in one hand and Detroit Dan in the other hand. They're going up the stairs. Said, "See you later." So...
Got things to do.
So that was the start of it. Probably the one of the best things we'd have is have two of them. One, of course, is at Janet's the night that Elle was the belle of the ball and had eight guys. And I played with eight women.
Woo! So
that was quite a wonderful evening. That's probably one of the best. And the other best one was the night we had a Super Bowl party at our place, and we set out towels, hand towels, washcloths. We have about 30 hand towels, 30 towels, 30 washcloths, and all the accoutrements to go in the restroom and the bedrooms. The night was trashed house night. We got there. We had women squirting on the hardwood floors. I stand in the bedroom doorway. One lady was sitting there getting spit roasted. She was squirting, hitting me in the chest. It was just, we went through 30 towels, 30 hand towels, and 30 washcloths. And Elle says, "I'm so glad we have a steam cleaner." So we just got the steam cleaner out and steamed the whole floor, you know, all the hardwood floors. And so those have been the best ones we've had. You know, those have been great.
But do tell. Were you actually watching the football game?
No, this was the night before.
Ah, smart.
Very smart. Very smart.
No. We've had an experience at the same day ball game. We were at one of Janet's friends and had some friends from out of town. Well, Big Dick Donnie, Missy, and I decided to stay upstairs while they're watching the game. Paged somebody. So we're up there, the three of us are playing, having a good time. First half is over. Halftime comes up. A lady from out in Kansas somewhere, comes up and starts playing and starts going down on me. And so we're about ready to play. She goes, "Oh, I got to go." I said, "Where are you going?" She goes, "Third quarter started," and left me hanging. I said, "Are you kidding me? I have never played with that lady again. Not done it." I said, "No, never mind. Thank you." So, but you know, it's been great. And like I said, just to go back to what I said to everybody who's new, don't give up on it. You know, it may take some time to find the right group. And
that is so true. You are so right. I mean,
you know, and we've learned, we've been very fortunate. You know, we've had Janet in our lives and hubby number two, and we've taken their lead on parties and how we do things, you know. And if there are people who have parties, if we don't know them, they don't vet them very well, we don't go, you know. Yeah. So that helps to being successful, is knowing the people that you are going to see. So it's been great.
It's always so, when you first decide you're going to get into this, it's difficult to find out how. It's difficult to find out. So, I mean, we have this niche and we've built this up, but, you know, over 15, 20 years. And, exactly. And you know, you for not as long, Steve, but you forget what it's like the first time you decide to do this. And the first time, now, I was very lucky that when I met my second husband, I met him in the lifestyle. So at a lifestyle party. So I did not have to explain to him that I had this proclivity. Okay. You know, if the first time that you do it, it's the two of you together and neither one of you have ever done it before. It's like a blind man feeling an elephant. You know, it's you're going to have to try a couple of different times to figure out what is the right part for you or what is going to work, because you're just there's so many types of personalities who are playing. And, you know, if you go to a big party, then typically what happens at the big parties is they act like a bunch of college kids and they do the drinking and the dancing and they do the smooching or whatever. And then you go off to play. Well, that first time then when that person goes off to play and it's not with you and it's, you know, your mate that's going off to play, you got to set that jealousy thing down and you have to take the attitude of, I'm happy for them and I'm hoping they're going to have a really good time. And so then if they come back and say they had a really good time, you have to be joyed for them that they had a good time and not be jealous that it wasn't with you that they had the good time. If you put, my first husband used to put this thing on me and say, I couldn't do something with the guy unless I had done it with him first. Well, I just broke that rule all the time. It was just going to be like, hey, well, it would happen in the moment. What are you supposed to do? Say, I'm sorry, my husband won't let me do this. No, yeah. that doesn't work in lifestyle in a party. It doesn't, you know. So then it's a question of
no.
Okay, so I'll do a case in point is I believe Cowboy and Tornado. Cowboy and Tornado, we met them off of I don't know, it was either C4P or SDC. I can't remember which one, SLS. And hubby number two says, let's go have dinner with this couple. And it's Cowboy and Tornado. And so we go and have dinner with them. And then we bring them back to our house. And they let us know that they're very tentative about this. And that they don't know if they want to play or not. Now, she's ready to play. But he is really shy. He's, for being a big old cowboy, he's really shy. So for us, one of the best things to do to get somebody who's not sure is we put him on the massage table. Okay. All right. So here's the deal. I'm going to give you a massage. I tell Cowboy, I'm going to give you a massage. And right over here is where hubby number two is going to start playing with Tornado. Is that okay? And he's like, sure, it's okay. And you can tell he's just not really, he doesn't even want to get totally undressed. And I tell him, it's okay. I'll get naked first. Okay. And then you get naked. I'll put a towel on you. So I put a towel on him. And then I've got the coconut oil. And in the meantime, hubby number two is really good at getting a woman to relax. And so he's doing that with her and he's getting her relaxed. And I can tell, and I whisper to the cowboy, they say she's in really good hands and she's going to have a lot of fun and she's going to tell you about it when she's done and it's going to be okay. And then I paint him with coconut oil and then I'm massaging his neck and I'm massaging his shoulders. And then I go massage down there and I get to that fine piece of ass and I start working that piece of ass and I'm telling him all the time what a great body that he has and really trying to reassure him that it's going to be okay. And then I flip him over and that dick is hard. And so, you know, then it's, again, so am I going to scare the hell out of him and jump on the dick? No. Okay. Can I go up and do some kissing and then do some stuff down the neck and then play around and come on down and then, you know, get to that nice big dick and, you know, put the coconut oil on it and then start sucking on it. And by this time he's all bought in. But it's taken about 10 or 15 minutes on the massage table of me. Don't look over there. Look here. Okay. Enjoy this time. You can, she's fine. She's going to be fine. And then he's all, okay, this is into this. I get on top of him and I start riding him cowboy style on the massage table. And then the reason that she's called Tornado happens. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Hubby gets down and starts he's been fucking her for a while and then his real whole MO is to get the juices in, fuck him, and then stop and then go down. And so he goes down on her and he starts doing his magic down there, and then all of a sudden it sounds like a damn tornado siren of, she does, I can't even do it, she goes woo.
Yeah, it is, it's a siren. I've heard it.
Scared the hell out of me. And so it's just like I jumped off the table,
I'm sure.
And Cowboy's like, it's going to be okay. It's okay. She always does that. I forgot to tell you. She always does that. And so he sits up and he's laughing and I'm laughing. And I can't even tell you if I got him to come that night or not. I don't think I did because it just wasn't right. It was broken by that moment, but it was so funny. And all of us just loved it. And then we sat on the bed afterwards and talked about it. And she said, oh, yeah, I guess I should have warned you that this is the way that I am. So when we put up on the whiteboard the next time that they come to a party, it's like, okay, don't be scared by the tornado siren. It just means you're doing things wrong.
Yeah, that is what it said. Yes. And let me tell you, the cowboy was quite worthy.
Oh, yeah. And so I think it's a matter of, and I'm guilty of this because I've been in it for so long. You forget what it's like the first time that you have done this. Really, because you worry about afterwards, is my partner going to be upset with me?
That is the one thing I can say about lifestyle relationships with your partner. Once you get to that point where you know, I trust this person, we're going home together. You can have all the fun in the world. We're going to go home together. We're the ones that are going to be with each other when we're sick. We're the ones that are going to get up in the morning together and have breakfast. You know, this is recreational sex. And once you take jealousy out of the equation of your relationship, I think it just changes. I mean, I don't even know how you could explain it to people, that it just blossoms. It's just a freedom beyond any kind of freedom. I mean, you talk about trust. Once you can really trust your partner, again, that we're going home together, we're going to live our lives together, but hey, on Saturday night or what, Saturday afternoon, as we used to do. You know, right. it's time to party.
You know, and that's one thing that we did when we first started. I'm one of those people who sees recreational sex, as Barbie puts it, as a toy. Take it down off the shelf, play with it, put it back up on the shelf, you know? Exactly. And Elle was not quite in that same mindset. So when we first started, before I started playing with any lady, I'd ask her. I said, are you okay? Yes, I am. Are you sure? Yes, okay. So I was just asking to reassure her and to make sure that she was fine with it. Because, and I've said this from day one, going on eight, 9 years. If there's a lady out there that I want to play with and she says no, I say, okay, fine, I'm done. I don't play with them. Mm-hmm. Why? Because there are plenty of other ladies out there. But I want her to be able to be reassured and not have to worry about anything. And so we've gone that, you know, we went that route, and now it's like, oh, okay, see you later, have fun, you know. It's, you know, so yeah, so it, there is some trust there, and you have to have that trust, like you said, for those people starting out.
Yeah, you do. Right. And you know, we had an experience one time where a couple came to play. They had played with other people, but they had only done it once or twice. They came to our house. It was just the two of them. He was kind of nervous. So he and I were on one part of the room, and my husband and his wife were on the other side, and he just could not perform at all. Zero, none. And you know, I mean, when they left like they were angry. They left like, I mean, and she said, you know, she wrote me a note and said, we're sorry, but he won't play anymore. He just won't do it. So, you know, sometimes you don't know until you're in the moment, you know, and right. Then once you know, so.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I've been in both kinds of relationships. My first relationship was controlling. And after every time that we played, the ride home was, why did you do this? Why did you do that? You shouldn't have done this. I told you not to do that. And it was totally guilt filled. And the thing was that at the time, I was playing with Barbie and her husband at the time. But you put on your profile, you put that you don't want drama. So I'm stuck in that. Do I tell Barbie and her husband and some of my other friends that I've met at this lifestyle that every time I go home, I get berated by my husband and show them the drama? Because if I show them the drama, this lifestyle ticket ends.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Introducing Coconut Slickums, the ultimate personal lubricant that brings a touch of tropical paradise to your most adventurous sex party moments. Made from 100% pure coconut oil, Coconut Slickums offers a silky smooth glide that's as natural as a unicorn breeze practicing the rule of 6 or DP. No more worrying about synthetic ingredients or greasy residues. Just a luscious moisturizing experience that feels as good as it sounds. Perfect for enhancing intimacy or just adding a bit of luxurious fun to your day. So go ahead, indulge in the tropical treat your skin deserves with Coconut Slickums. Because when it's this smooth, it's always a perfect day at the meet and greet. To learn more, visit BeyondMonogamyPodcast.com.
Let's get back to hearing from the guilty.
Right. I don't get to go to parties. Okay. If I tell them, so I just hid it. Right. So I hid it for years. And then I got at a point in my relationship with that guy that said it was time for me to leave. And when I left, I had met now who's my current husband. I had met him at a party, because what I was thinking was when I left my first husband, I was I dated two or three other guys, but I told them I was promiscuous, but I never really told them I was completely in the lifestyle. The only one that knew I was in the lifestyle was now hubby number two, who knows that I'm in the lifestyle. And the whole relationship with him, so I was actually in the lifestyle with him, dating him, dating a couple other guys. And then I started just dating him singly. And then we'd been dating for about 18 months. And I said something about being in the lifestyle and pointed it out to my friend. And she said, "You're not in the lifestyle anymore. Tell me who else you've fucked besides your current boyfriend." And I was like, "Oh, I guess I'm not in the lifestyle," because I hadn't gone to any parties and I guess I hadn't done anything. And so I said, "Oh, I guess I've been out of the lifestyle." And she goes, "You're with this guy, you know, he knows about you. So if you decide you want to go back in the lifestyle, it's fine." So then hubby number two was boyfriend at the time. Boyfriend invites me to go to a strip club. And so we go to a strip club in the middle of the city, downtown city. The strip club, the stripper comes up and she's coming up close and she's taking off all her clothes and she's kind of dancing in front of me. And he says, "Do you want to pay her to come down and give you a lap dance?" And then he goes, "Well, we could pay her and go in the back room and play with her if you want." And I turned to him and he's, well, first of all, he says, "Do you like it?" And I said, "Really, honestly, I don't like this strip club." And he goes, "Why not?" And I go, "Because it's like going to a buffet and looking at the food and not being able to eat."
Exactly. Exactly.
So I said, and he looks at me and he goes, "Oh, I never thought of it that way." And then he goes, "Well, we can pay her to come down here and we can have, you know, take her to the back room and we can play with her." And I turn to him and I go, we're not paying for sex. Okay. I'm a female. I don't need to pay for sex. In fact, I know of a place nearby that is a club. It's a regular established club that's having a party this evening. We could go to that club if that's what you would like to do. And he goes, "I think I'd like to." Okay, now we made a mistake in that I did not realize there was an organized couples club that was having a one-time hotel event that was probably five blocks away from this regular club. Okay, so remember the episode where Roger was talking about Mitch's and Barbie was talking about Kit Kat Club. The club that we went to was an established club like that. It was in an unincorporated district in this town. And so they didn't get bothered by the police. They had it set up. So we went there. And hubby and I went there. And we walked in. The reason it was a mistake is because the only people that were at that club were some very big women. I mean, roll them in flour to find the wet spot type of woman. Okay. And I mean, they got to get it somewhere. They were very big women and there was a whole bunch of single males. Okay. No younger couples, none of that were at this club that evening. And I kind of asked somebody, "Is this, I heard this was a big club. Where is everybody?" And they said, "Oh, such and such a club is having their once a month party." So we're there. So I was like, I don't want to figure out where that place is. And we've already paid our entry fee to go to this club. So we walk in, we look around. There's nobody on the dance floor that we want to play with. There's a whole bunch of side rooms. And hubby says, "Let's just go into the side room and play." So I go into the side room with him and I'm playing. And all of a sudden, a third person comes in. And this guy is young. He looks like he's probably 25, 26 years old, young, if he's that. Okay. And he's wearing board shorts and a polo shirt and stuff. So he looks okay. And so he's standing there and we're playing and he wants to know, is it okay if he watches us play? And hubby says, sure. And so then I'm playing with hubby and he looks over and he points to the guy and he says, "Do you want her to help you?" And the guy kind of is shy and he shakes his head no. And then he shakes his head yes. And he shakes his head no. So I go over to this guy. Okay. And I take down his shorts. And I got to tell you that when I take down his shorts and I see the size of this guy's dick, I am so disappointed. I am having to play the major actress. You got it? Because my first husband had a small dick. And so it's like, God, why is it when I go to play with somebody new, they have one that's the same size or smaller? And it's like, oh my God. So I was like, all right, fine. So I start to blow this guy. And I am working and working on him, hoping maybe he's a grower, not a shower, you know. So I'm being optimistic in my head, trying to think maybe I can get this guy to blow up. He does not blow up. Okay. He just stays flaccid. And I am working and I am working. And this is when I tell you that Barbie visits my head every once in a while. Barbie visits my head. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Barbie visits. She comes on one of my shoulders. And I see Barbie, and she's like in the white angel dress. And she's like, more than 15 minutes and it becomes a job, and it's not your job. Okay. and I hear Barbie saying that. And then on my other shoulder in the devil is my first husband, who is in red. And he's like, you're a failure. You can't even make this guy's dick get hard. You can't do it. Okay. So hear this, and I'm fighting between these two, and I can't get this guy to get off. And so finally I just threw up my hands and I turn around and I look at hubby who's watching, and I go, I can't do this. I can't make him come. And I'm in tears almost, and hubby goes, hubby two goes, come here. And he goes, just do me again. So I go over to hubby two and I jump on his dick, which is hard at that point. And I'm very happy to be on his dick. And I start fucking him, and I look back over, and there is the guy with his own hand jerking his little dick off. And within 2 minutes, cum is flying across the room. And I'm like, the guy's got jack-off-itis. Okay. Yeah. He's got jack-off-itis, because that's when somebody uses their hand so much that anybody else's touch, mouth, anybody else's pussy is not going to do it. Their dick is used to their hand and their hand only. And so we get done, we walk out, and we get into the car. And I am sure that boyfriend, now hubby too, is going to say something about me being a failure. And I'm just sure of it. And I get in the car. And he turns to me and he says, I don't think I've ever loved you as much as I love you right now. That was really hot.
Wow.
I'm like that little Grinch that has the little thing around it where the heart just grows and grows and grows. My heart just kind of goes, okay. And I'm like, oh, it's on like Donkey Kong now. This is how your reaction is going to be to me doing this to other people. You do not know how much fun we are going to have in the lifestyle. Because if I don't get berated on the way home, and you have just told me how much you love me for being slutty little me, I'm so happy. It was so great. Yeah. You know, so it's like, oh, and I haven't looked back. Oh.
You know, it's so true. I guess people don't realize it or what it is, but I get so much joy. And Elle and Missy had a gangbang here recently, 20 guys. And Elle did 15.
Ooh,
of them.
She had
I kept the number at 15 because I know she didn't do three. She made 15 to 17, whatever. But I was so happy for her. She was so happy and having so much fun. It's just, and it makes me happy that she's able to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and guys, if you want your wife to be happy and to continue this, you support her with whatever she wants to do in the lifestyle. You know, because like you said, Barbie, you know, I know she's going home with me tonight. We're going to wake up in the morning. We're going to have breakfast. On the way home, we talk and giggle about, well, what'd you do? What did I do? And and like I said before, you know, Elle always asks me, she goes, well, where was I when this went on? I said, well, you were upstairs playing. Yeah. Well, when that went on, well, you're upstairs playing or whatever. So, you know, that's the way, guys. If, you know, if you want to stay in this lifestyle with your spouse, you just say, baby, go have fun and be along for the ride, you know? Yeah.
And I can tell you that every party that I go to, I am not worried about whether or not hubby number two saw that I did this, where he was at the time. I don't think about it at all. You know, good. And there's sometimes like we'll come together in the middle of the party. I'll be going to get a drink. He'll be going somewhere else and it'll be a quick kiss. And it'll be like, you having fun? You're having fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about it later.
Yeah. That's what we do. Like, hey, how you doing? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Talk to you later.
You know, but I think it also a lot of that for us, and I don't know, it might be, but I'll throw the props out there. It may be because that's where we first started is with you and your parties. And we saw whatever, you know. Now, I've always been that way, but I think it put Elle in a place to where she was more comfortable. Oh, well, this is okay. That's okay. And she has now been able just to slut it up whenever and wherever she wants. And that's wonderful. It's wonderful. You know, she has several men who like to come over and play. So she's, she goes, hey, I want to see someone. So, okay. And I may be there. I may play. I may go work on something in the other room. It doesn't bother me a bit. She's having fun and she loves it. Said, and that's what it's all about to me.
I don't have a problem with it. So I have, there's only been one or two instances I've had to stop seeing two men so far now that I've had to stop seeing because they got the whole thing of they wanted me to be their continuous girlfriend and they wanted me to they dropped the L word on me. And the one guy dropped it like the second time that we played to the point that when he did it, it was somebody who's down here where I am now in this area. And we went to play with him and his girlfriend at the time. And we had dinner with them and they came over to our place and we were, hubby was in the room with her and it was our second time, you know, the massage table was out. He was with her and I was playing with him. And in the middle of sex, he says, I love you. And I go, I started laughing. I said, that's ridiculous. And he said, what are you laughing at me for? I'm really serious. And I was like, because we're just having sex and you don't even know me. Okay.
You love my pussy. You love my pussy.
You love my pussy. You can say you love the way I have sex with you. You love my pussy. You do not love me. You don't know what makes me tick. You don't know if I snore at night. You don't know. You don't know anything about me. Okay. You don't know my dislikes and my likes. You're just sitting here telling me. And he's like, oh. And I said, and I told him, I said, you are out of control if you're bringing this in. And this is only the second time that we have played. This is not something that makes me happy. I'm married to that guy out there. I am not going to be anybody's girlfriend. I don't have time for it. Okay. Do not text me during the day. All right. Because I work, people. So don't send me stuff because I've had that happen before. And this guy, he just, so then the third or fourth time he dropped it again. And he's like, I'm sorry, I can't help it. And then he started this bullshit of, oh, I'm not going to say it because you told me I can't say it, but I'm not going to say it. I was like, okay, I'm done. And so we came out we were finished with them. And I said to hubby number two, we can't, I got to block him. I got to ghost him. We can't play with these people. Because I can't.
That's a lunatic.
This guy's an idiot. That's okay.
That's a lunatic.
Idiot.
Yeah. Because we're all grown-ups here. We should be well past that whole infatuation thing. Yeah. But I have had, kind of on jumping on that, I've had guys ask me while we were playing if I ever met alone. You know, do you ever meet without your husband? Like, no. No.
But see, like Steve said, after a while, you get, there are some guys that are bluefish that you know that they could
totally come into town.
You know,
and you also know when those people are asking for it, like that.
Right.
You know when somebody's approaching you and saying, hey, I live in this town, you live in this town. What if you and I just met away from the spouses? You know, no.
So I know some couples in the lifestyle that's what they do. And that's what they're comfortable with. They actually date other people. And I'm not, my relationship. I let them know I'm not that couple. Okay. You want to play with me at a party? That's fine.
That is totally different than a relationship.
I'm not dating. I'm not stepping out with you. I don't need two relationships, dude. I got one. Oh, and it took me a long time to get this one. Okay.
And one is enough when you get a one. One is enough.
Right. And yeah, if he gives me a hall pass to go play with somebody that we know that we've played with before that is not giving me this vibe of
completely
whatever.
Different.
But yeah, but it's not, especially because you know there have been times when the wife was indisposed and so the husband had a need and it was like, okay, so he was allowed to come over here and then we actually brought another female over into the situation. So sometimes it happens like that. But,
well,
but
I've then, even driven out of town to go fuck. I mean, you know, and he knew about it. Yeah, I'm like, I'm going out here.
If you're regulars and if he was closer, one of my regulars, I'm going to stop calling him Urkel. I'm going to call him Boo because he's changed so much and he looks so hot. So,
Boo baby.
So I know that Boo is listening. If Boo came into town, I would be able to go over and meet Boo because
without a problem. Yeah.
Right. With there's no certain problem. People, but that's not, this guy was just weirding me out with this. When a guy says to you on a second date, I don't care if you're in the lifestyle or not. If that dude is telling you on the second date you're in love,
run away. Run away.
Run away.
If you can wallpaper your house with those red flags.
Right.
Okay. I guarantee it. If somebody's telling you on the second date that they love you. Yeah. No, that's the biggest red flag you could get.
I mean, I have said in the middle of sex or something, I have said something like, oh my God, I love it when you do this. Okay. Oh. That is not the same as what this dude was saying to me.
Exactly. I say all the time. Oh, I am a talker though. I mean, when I'm playing, I'm talking to him. I mean, I'm talking, I'm a talker. Yeah. That feels good. Or, ooh, yeah. Don't stop. Or, you know, ooh.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, and if it's Kyle, I'm talking to him, you know, COVID couple, the hubby, I'm talking to him about football plays because it makes his dick get harder. And so we're talking football.
Well,
whatever
it takes. That's right. Whatever it takes.
Oh, that's
get
great.
Get in that huddle, baby. Get in the huddle.
Okay.
Watch out for the Hail Mary.
I think we beat this enough. Thanks for the good and bad stories. And I love it that you include us as, you know, part of the good stories. Because I always feel really guilty since that first time when I totally ignored you guys and just went without you.
But the evening ended quite well, though.
Yes, it did later, you know. But it only, because Hubby number two is such a good facilitator. He's so good at just getting somebody to relax and be just like, yeah, no harm's going to be done here. And let me just touch this over here. Let me show you how this might work. No, and then, okay.
You know, and it's funny because I was laying on that, whatever it was, the love seat or whatever it was. And El was putting my legs sucking my cock. And he walks up, he goes, can I play with her? I said, don't ask me. It's not my pussy. You know? he taps her. And she goes, sure, go ahead, you know. So.
Yep. Pardon me.
Hello. My name's Hubby Number Two. How are you?
Yeah, exactly. Let's go have sex.
Right. And if it's taking you more than 15 minutes to make that guy come, it's a job.
It's a job.
And it's not your job.
That's right. And you're lucky if you get 15 minutes. Seriously. That's a lot of time, folks.
Definitely was. Okay. Well, thanks to all the flies on the wall that are listening. And I'm sure that Boo's going to be there. I'll give a shout out to Boo. If you would like a certain topic for us to cover, please find us at beyondmonogamypodcast.com. There's no the in that. Just smash all those words together. beyondmonogamypodcast.com. You can send an email to Roger or contact me. If you would like to be on the show or you'd like to have us cover a certain topic, just shout us a note. Please tip Mandingo, because even though Slickums is a great commercial, we're not making anything on it. We haven't really sold any Slickums yet. So please tip Mandingo if you can, because he's producing this for free currently. And I hope to listen to you or have you guys come back and listen to the next podcast. So thank you for listening, and we want you to come again and come again and come again. Bye, y'all.
That's it for this episode of Beyond Monogamy. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and we look forward to having you back again for the next episode of Beyond Monogamy.